Every day of our lives is spent in the built environment. We live in homes and apartments, drive on roads, get gas from pipelines, go to work in buildings, make purchases in stores and restaurants. We rely on factories, plants, doctor's offices, and hospitals for our basic human needs. And while our world continues to shift and grow and change, the development and delivery of the built environment has fallen dramatically behind. Welcome to the Built Revolution. We're here to engage the leaders, visionaries, and innovators who are revolutionizing the built environment. This podcast is brought to you by Continuum Advisory Group.
Hello, and welcome to the Built Revolution podcast. This is Kelsey Henderson, president of Continuum Advisory Group. And I have Nate Scott, principal with Continuum Advisory Group, here with me today. And we're going to talk a little bit about some recent construction spending data. So Nate, earlier this year, you started compiling a monthly U.S. construction spending summary. Can you tell us a little bit about what goes into that, where the data comes from, and how it's organized?
Yeah, sure. Earlier this year, we always had kind of paid attention to this. Particularly recently, we started paying attention to what was going on with manufacturing construction spending, which I'll talk about in a bit, but is really been growing at unprecedented rates. We had some clients that wanted us to start tracking it and giving them some more regular updates. So that kind of just sparked the idea to do a regularly monthly update on the construction put in place data. That's put out by the Census Department monthly with a 1 month lag. So as an example, the last one is the August 1st release, and that's got data through the end of June. Fairly high level, started putting that together as a way to get a snapshot of what's going on with construction right now. And we'll occasionally bring in some a few other sources, like the AIA Billing Index as an example, which looks at both billings of architecture firms and new design contracts, a little bit more of a leading indicator. So we bring some of that stuff in as well, and then send it out to our contact list every month. It's generally been well received.
Awesome. So I think you mentioned that the most recent data release was August 1st, and that was for the data through the end of June. So what are the highlights from that August data release?
The trend over the last year and a half, well, really kind of since COVID wound down, is that non-residential construction has been growing pretty strongly, particularly in certain areas. But overall, there's been good growth across the board, even in some markets we wouldn't have thought to be the case. Kind of much like the overall economy, where interest rates have gone up and there's kind of been talk of, are we going to have a recession? Are things going to slow down? And things seem to keep bucking that trend and kicking along. And construction's been no exception to that, and generally has moved along pretty well. We did see in the August, so the end of the June numbers, kind of a leveling off of non-residential construction. It was only up 0.1% for the month. It had been growing, you know, 0.5% or so per month. Not really bad news, though, because that's really at a very high, you know, a record level of spending. Year over year, non-residential construction is still up 18.1%, which is a heck of a year by any standard. Residential construction, which is the other major component we track, is down 10% over the year. So we've all heard that market has slowed some, though that's still above levels seen as recently as 2019 into 2020, before the kind of post-COVID boom of residential construction. As everybody knows, there was a lot of remodel, but also a lot of home buying, and things went on. So historically, if you look at the last 10 years, you wouldn't really view residential as much of a dip. That's also turned around. It bottomed out back in April, down about 12% from the peak. It was up 0.9% over the last month. So even residential construction is doing pretty well.
That leveling off that you mentioned for non-residential, is that about what we expected to see at this point? I know we had some strong numbers earlier in the year.
Well, there's a couple things there. One big question, one big driver of it has really been what's gone on in manufacturing construction. It's probably at a level of activity that we haven't seen since World War II, the amount of growth we've seen. So 2 years ago, we did about $70 billion a year in manufacturing construction. That grew slowly through June of last year. So June 2022, it was around $95 billion. And in the last year, it's gone up $100 billion. So it went up from $95 billion a year to $195 billion a year. And this is one of the things that made us start looking at this monthly, because it was, the numbers just kept going up at such a high rate. It was somewhat astonishing, really, to see. What we did see, though, starting in April, is it seemed to peak out around $195 billion. And it's been essentially steady at that rate for April, May, and June numbers. Some of that is lots of the projects are going, but we also suspect some of that is capacity as well. And so there's only so many people out there that can do the work. We've heard that on job sites and talking to customers as well. Many of the listeners know it's a real challenge finding people at this point. There's lots of demand. So some of that leveling off could just be, we've kind of maxed out on what we can do. And I think we're seeing that out there in the market.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you kind of touched on this a little bit, but we had some questions. We distribute this as a short PDF based from a PowerPoint. So just a few slides that are really easy to consume each month. And if you're not on that distribution list and you're listening to this podcast and you want to be on it, feel free to reach out to us. But we had a few questions that came in after we sent out the August 1st data release from a couple of different folks on that distribution list. And so the first one, the question is, it's amazing to see 80% growth year over year in the manufacturing sector. Do you know specifically where that growth is coming from? It's hard to imagine that the CHIPS Act and more onshore manufacturing has had this quick of an impact, but it's good to see.
The short answer would be that the CHIPS Act and onshore manufacturing has had that big of an impact. The White House put out a graphic, and it's a little dated. I think it came out back in February. Obviously, they've been heavily pushing kind of the success of what's going on in manufacturing in the U.S. And they put together a graphic that showed essentially $1 billion plus projects. There's 40 of them or so on here. And there are a lot in semiconductor. Back then, the number was around $183 billion of semiconductor projects announced. I believe it's actually significantly higher than that now. Some things have been announced beyond that. It could be up around $300 billion. Obviously, those take years to do. But the other big element of that is what's gone on with auto and electric vehicle plants. Pretty much every global manufacturer, so not just U.S., global manufacturer of automobiles has announced a significant push into electric vehicles. Most are shooting for somewhere around 50% of their sales to be electric in the early 2030s, with talk of being all electric by 2040. On some level, that seems a little ways away, but it's really not that far away. You're talking, 7 years till 2030 and going from the big automakers, single-digit percentages to half of their cars in that time frame. So to do that, they're building a lot of battery plants. Last we looked, it was somewhere around 50 or 60 billion of those have announced. They generally run about 2 to 4 billion a piece. Ford's got a couple going on. GM has five, I believe they've announced. Now it was four, but I think there's a fifth I've heard about as well. And then Stellantis, so Chrysler has a couple, and then the foreign manufacturers, Honda, Toyota, various others all have these projects going on. So that's another huge chunk of it. But then other forms of manufacturing construction, beyond that, there's a good amount going on as well. Biomanufacturing, life science has been doing pretty well for a while, but that's continued to kick along pretty well. Steel and aluminum, there's a few big projects there. Other clean energy projects, there was 14 billion of those. So it's not just one thing, it's several things. It's supported by both economic factors and also supported by the CHIPS Act and the Inflation Reduction Act, which of course had all the tax credits in it for electric vehicles, solar panels, things like that. The manufacturing to support the demand that's created. There are requirements around a lot that has to happen in the U.S. and just a general desire to bring manufacturing back to the U.S. has all come together.
Good summary. So a lot going on there.
I would note also it's broad-based geographically. There's really not much of the U.S. left out. The Mountain West, particularly Arizona, has a ton with both Intel and TSMC, Taiwan Semiconductor, huge, multi $20-plus billion projects going on there. You got a ton of battery plants in the Southeast and upper Midwest, Great Lakes area. So there's a lot of that. California, Pacific Northwest, a little bit left out, but their overall numbers have kind of been flat. So it's not necessarily bad. And the Northeast has been flat in manufacturing as well, though there are some large projects, I think Global Foundries and a couple others that have been announced up there in terms of chip plants. So that might jump up as well. So it's not an opportunity in one area as well. It's affecting lots of areas.
Yeah, good to know. So another question that came in, they're saying that they were seeing an uptick of projects and asking if we had any mass timber market data. I know you did a little digging into that. What did you come up with as far as sources of data around that or high level numbers? What are you seeing in that area?
A couple research reports out there on it. It's had some play as kind of an environmental move. So using renewable materials, building with large timber structures. There's been a fair amount of gone on with it. It's the growth projection on it is around 5% a year through the end of the decade. So I think there'll be more opportunity there, but it's not, it doesn't jump up as something like what's going on with electric cars or something, you know, where you're getting these 100% growth rates and things like that. It's a market, but not necessarily high growth is the projection for it.
Okay. Any other final thoughts, things to look out for as we approach the next month of data release?
We have had another question that kind of comes up now and then in terms about, you know, kind of where the big growth areas are. And obviously, most people are focused on what's gone on with battery plants and chip plants recently. The other thing, though, that's continued to boom along has been warehouse construction.
Yeah.
So prior to this, the fastest growing construction segment in the country for really the last decade has been warehouse and distribution facilities. Way to look at this is kind of during the last boom, if you went back to the old school and you were going to Bed Bath and Beyond and Home Depot for the weekend when all the big box building went on, the market was around, it peaked around $40 billion of big box was being built a year, and around $10 to $15 billion of warehouse was built in a year. So over the last decade, that essentially flipped. We now do the build less than $10 billion of big box retail. And we now started building around $40 billion of warehouse. So that kind of made sense. But that market then over the last 3 years has accelerated even more. I think the last number was warehouse spending is now $60 billion annually that we're spending on warehouse construction. And it accounts for almost 60% of all commercial construction. So stores, retails, grocery stores, and all that stuff, we build less of that, all of that combined than we build of warehouse space today. That market is one that we're watching, I think one to watch going forward. There'll continue to be some of it, but it does feel like one that may have reached a peak and could be starting to get close to overbuilt. CBRE looked at that. The vacancy rates are still pretty low. Rents are growing, but they also predicted up to a 50% decline in groundbreakings later in 2023. I don't know that that means that the $60 billion market's going to go back to 30, but it definitely could start to trend off. So that might be a long-term trend that we see coming to an end and something to watch in the data through the end of the year. The last 6 months saw that growth kind of stop and it's kind of stabilized at that $60 billion number. Goes back to, is that a capacity thing or is that market near a top and going to fall off? So that's, I think, another interesting one to track because it's another one that's been a big driver of overall construction for the last decade or so.
Okay.
Last thing I would say, just looking forward, I did look, just came out a couple of days ago, the most recent AIA numbers. So again, they do one for architectural billings, which is kind of current design work underway, and then design contracts signed. The index, it's a 100-point index, 50 indicates neutral conditions, over 50 positive, below 50 negative. Both those dipped negative kind of back in April. Things appeared to soften a little, but they've really picked up since then. The latest June numbers on that had billings at 50.1, so essentially saying an even market, kind of aligns with what we saw of kind of a leveling out of the market in general. But design contracts are 52.7, so that's even positive. So interest rates continue to be high. I saw mortgage rates have gone up again, even recently up near 8%. We think that it should start to drag on the market to a point. But the current and long-term indicators seem to say that lots of the markets brush that off and continue to push ahead. So, you know, we're going to keep an eye on it month to month. As you said, Kelsey, if people want us to send this out to them, feel free to drop us an email and we'll add you to the list and send it out. Keep watching it over the rest of the year. So the big question is kind of how long can this pretty darn good run of construction we've had continue? And it seems to be continuing in a lot of areas, particularly manufacturing construction. That's, you know, those projects are all multi-year and underway. So even if things slow, that market's going to continue to be strong, at least for the next couple of years.
Yeah. Well, thanks for reviewing it for us. You know, and as Nate said, if you guys want to get added to the list, reach out to us. If you have questions about either this month's day report or a future month, feel free to reach out to us with those. And, you know, we'll try to get back to you with some summary and maybe record those in a future episode of the podcast.
All right. Thanks, Kelsey.
Thanks for listening to the Built Revolution Pod, brought to you by Continuum Advisory Group. Continue the conversation on Twitter @BuiltRevolutionPod or email us at hello@builtrevolutionpod.com. The views expressed in this podcast are those of the individuals being interviewed, and they do not necessarily reflect the views of the sponsoring organizations.